The Orange Catholic Foundation is pleased to bring you the following Father Spitzer homily.
Well, today's gospel reading really sets Jesus' priorities in place very firmly. And most of the contemplative orders that exist today, including our great discalced Carmelite nuns and so many of the other truly contemplative orders, do put these this passage kind of in the forefront of their mission, the way they perceive themselves. This passage also is right in the forefront of the mission of the Desert Fathers from the very beginning of the contemplative life. And what is the whole point? The whole point is that it's sort of twofold, really. First, contemplation has to precede action. In other words, if we have a relationship with the Lord, if we, you know, truly are in contact with the Lord, if we, feel His presence in our lives, if we're allowing Him ever more deeply into ourselves by our attempts, you know, even if it's a prayer routine that we have, you know, even if it's just, sometimes saying a few decades of the rosary, trying to connect with Him, or some of the Psalms, and we're concertedly trying to be in communion with Him, it's going to transform all of our actions during the day. It's going to transform, the way in which we do things and sort of put Jesus's imprint into the very ways in which we do our work. And that's the first sort of reason that you know, Mary has chosen the better part. Of course, God made me into a Martha, unfortunately. I'm just kidding. Very fortunately, in my own viewpoint. I am very busy about many things and very frustrated when I can't get everything done that I need to get done. And this goes back all the way to my childhood. And my mother's familiar phrase was, "Don't worry, tomorrow is another day." And I go, "Yes, but I wanted it done today." And my mother would say, "Forget about it." The point, of course, is, it is that sort of, frustration there that contemplation can free us from and release us from. What matters is that, we're in contact with God who's transforming us. But there's a second dimension, to that. Mary has chosen the better way. And that is that the contemplatives and the contemplative religious orders, they're funneling grace into the world. You know, when we see these providential actions take place in history, where you just, you look at the course of maybe a battle, and you look at the course of church history, and you just go, it's all over now. And then suddenly, boom, a miracle happens, right? And the church just recovers almost instantly. Like what we're facing right now in the church. What does Jesus say first and foremost in this passage to us? He's saying, pray. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. The contemplative, monastic vocation, what it does is it, in faith, it is bringing grace into the world. Prayers are efficacious. God, from the beginning of the world, deigned that our prayers would be efficacious. He wants our free actions to ask for His grace in the world. And that's why He makes those prayers efficacious. So the more that we pray, the more that we try to bring God's action into our lives, the more He is going to do it. I'm never surprised when, we get into a situation like we're in today, where our church is really being challenged. And then you see a couple of years later, something truly significant happens. Saints begin to appear. Movements begin to appear from places you never expected. And of course, this transformation of the church, this transformation of history and culture, these near misses, you know, where you look at history and you go, oh my gosh, we, you know, almost came to a crisis here, there, and everywhere, and it just didn't happen. I always think back to my dearly beloved Carmelite sisters in Seattle or in El Hombra, these praying, discalced sisters who honestly just conduit grace into the world. These Carthusians who are conduiting grace into the world by simply being in communion with God and praying for the church. All of the times in which we, you know, suffer and we say, oh, you know, what is the good of this suffering? And we offer it up in trust to God, asking that, you know, the Lord will take custody over the church and the world. And you know, things happen. Great things happen. And we don't know how our suffering contributed to that. We don't know how our contemplative prayer contributed. We don't know how these contemplatives, you know, in these monastic orders have just conduited all this grace so that history would not take the course of destruction. So that, you know, instead these saints would arise, these movements would arise, that things would happen, and that we would start off almost felix culpa, oh happy fault, from a place after, you know, a terrible depravity or sin or challenge, almost like persecution giving rise to a stronger church. All this grace happens because of our prayers, because of our offerings of suffering in prayer. And I believe, truly, every time we do this, we prove Jesus right again as divine providence manifests that Mary has chosen the better way and she shall not be deprived of it. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another podcast brought to you by the Orange Catholic Foundation.